This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
If you want to ask a question to the Premier, you can ask a question to the Premier. And if you want to make a comment, you can make a comment. As we always say, that the only thing we ask is that we have respectable, respectful and dignified conversations. That's all we ask, that we have a respectful and dignified conversation. We respect each other throughout the conversation, both ends, whether when we speak to each other, which we always do here on Talk, so that's easily the evening as well. So I'm sitting with the Premier for the next 50 minutes, and so you can engage and follow us. Obviously, we're going to try and talk about 10 years. Is it, or is it 11 in that 50 minutes? Mr. Premier, good evening. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Good evening, Mula, and good evening to your listeners.
Good evening. It's good to see you. You look great. You look as the last time we sat. You know, the first time we sat, I was actually fairly new when we sat down here. It's in 2019 or so. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation which was a long one. Yeah. We've come full circle now, have we not?
I think we did.
We did.
Yeah.
And we've had numerous ones since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of things have happened since then. But one of those is the culmination of your time as Premier of the province.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was working in the national broadcaster when you became Premier. And people were saying, who is this man that they are bringing back to be Premier?
Mm.
And then, so there were profiles.
Some were even saying, you are bringing us at leg. From limb dev to,
yes, yes.
To
okay.
Premier.
Yeah. How have things been since then?
No, it was not easy, surely, because of the kind of terrain that we found when we came in.
Yeah. Mm.
It has not been easy. Remember, when we came in, you had 5 departments which were under administration, including the Department of Finance, you know. And once you have the Department of Finance under administration, then that says to you that the whole government is under administration, because everything must be financed from that center.
Mm.
So almost for something like 2 years,
yeah,
we were just sitting MECs and sitting premiers.
Yes.
Because we did not have executive authority.
Mm.
Anything that you had to do, you must first consult with National Department of Treasury.
Yes.
Because they were not overseeing us, they were supervising us.
Oh, okay. The so-called under administration.
Yes.
Was it Section
101B.
1B. Mm. Okay, great. But then you've gone through that. The finances of the province have since improved?
Yes, drastically.
Mm.
You know, remember that time we were at a risk of not paying contract. In fact, for 3 years, contractors were not paid. There was no project that was implemented.
Yes.
During the 3 years when the administrators were here, because they were trying to stabilize finances.
Yes. You know?
So now today, we don't have an overdraft. We don't operate an overdraft in this province any longer.
Mm.
We're cash positive.
Mm.
Today, we reduced the unauthorized expenditure drastically.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
We have improved the financial. You remember that time, 2013, when I came in, you had something like 60% of municipalities having what you call disclaimer audit opinion.
And yes.
Once they say you've got disclaimer, you know, once you have a disclaimer, means the auditor general is saying, I can't make head or tail out of your finances.
Mm-hmm.
It means, therefore, we can't even advise you as the auditor general's office, you know, because we don't know what you did with the money.
Yes.
So about 60% of municipalities were under a disclaimer audit opinion.
Mm.
And we had more than 5 provincial government entities also under disclaimer audit opinion, which therefore says things were bad.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Mm.
And we then said, for us to correct the situation, we must deal with this animal, this phenomenon called disclaimer audit opinion. Because once you deal with it, then the auditor general will then be able to say to you, Yes, I understand. I can see what you did in Thinabut. But you faltered year and year and year, you know, and give you a management letter or perhaps also give you findings. I remember the first time when the Department of Education got findings, they were at about 348 findings, you know.
Yeah.
You can imagine 348. The Department of Health was also at, in that range.
Yeah.
You know? But today, we only have three entities, provincial government entities, which are qualified. We no longer have a disclaimer audit opinion in this province.
Yes.
Be it in municipalities and in provincial entities, we are a disclaimer-free province.
Mm. I remember from one of the state of the province address, the ambition though seemed to have been clean audits.
Yes.
How has that fared?
No, it did. You know, if you look at in the previous financial year? Yes, that's the previous financial year. That's when we dropped with clean audit.
Mm-hmm.
But the year before that, we had about five clean audits, which was unprecedented in this province. And the rest of the entities were unqualified.
Yes.
You know? Remember, in general business language or financial language, there is nothing called clean audit. You know, clean audit is something that has been created by government.
Yes.
Just for getting, you know, something, some way of comfort out of your books.
it's always interesting when you talk finances and numbers. You sometimes lose your audience. we'll come to that point, but okay. However, in terms of service delivery, has the improved finances of the province have also translated, in your view, to better service delivery for the province during these times?
Absolutely, absolutely. Remember, during that time, we still had math schools and phenomenon. I mean, the objective reality of our villages, where you had a lot of houses which were built out of mud, you know. But you traverse the entire province today, you know, you no longer have a mud school. We have eliminated that. You hardly find a mud house in this province. A lot of people, when they come from Gauteng, coming from everywhere else, they ask yourself, where are your rural villages? Because they are not used to rural villages which have this kind of houses that we're building in this province. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our people are building in this province. And that did not happen accidentally.
Yeah.
You know? We took a decision that we are going to use a commercial way of distributing resources. And that will improve the livelihood of our people.
Yes.
Our people will be able to build beautiful houses and all these kind of things. And we did exactly that.
Okay.
And then again, we, you remember I was in Limdef, you know, at some stage with together with my senior at that time, because I started as a COO at Limdef.
Okay.
With Chris Luvani as my managing director. Very brilliant young man. You know, I think I owe a lot of success at Limdef to Chris Luvani.
Okay.
He did not stay long, but the strategy that we used, I implemented after he left, is the strategy that was crafted by him.
Okay.
You know? So, and unfortunately he left.
Yeah.
well, you know, I think I was still 2 years as COO when he left. And I had to take over as managing director. But I did not doubt that I would be equal to the task.
Okay.
So you were speaking about
the houses.
The houses, yes.
And then
we established, together with Chris, we established what we called Resima Housing Finance.
Mm-hmm.
Then that Resima Housing Finance, the reason why we did that was because our people were unable to get housing loans, you know. Because banking system in South Africa is asset-based. And as a result, if you don't have collateral in South Africa, you are unable to access finance. You know? So we said, as government, let us intervene then, you know, but and come up with a vehicle that would assist our people to access finance without having title deeds.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
Because
okay.
because remember, this, our people are in rural villages and they only have PTOs, permission to occupy from Mushat, you know.
And yeah, so, and from a government perspective, you do a lot of work around giving people title deeds and so on. Of course, people, when you do it now, yes. they'll accuse you of electioneering. Yeah.
But we do it, remember, we do it in townships and peri-urban areas.
Yeah.
But in rural villages, you can't do that because you are taking power away from Hoshi. Hoshi is the one, together with the out of a tribal resolution, that can give a person a title deed.
Yeah, okay.
You see.
Well, there are obviously issues around infrastructure, whether you talk schools, whether you talk roads, and maybe right in these two areas, there are still challenges there.
Well, with schools, I think this ANC government has performed. I remember, let me take it back to 1994. Prior to 1994, you look at Skukune, for example, as a district. We had very, very few schools. Hence, many of them were actually boarding schools. You find that. It's a boarding school. I think Pata Metsani also, I think at some stage he had a boarding school. Bwaparangwe boarding school, you know. And why? Because many villages in Skukune did not have schools.
Okay.
At some stage, we had about six high schools in the whole of Skukune.
Yeah.
You know, Hotala was also a boarding school. So today, you go to almost every village in Skukune, there is a high school. In some instances, state of the art schools. You
okay.
Bukamu, somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a primary school. There is an ECD. I did not go through a crash.
Yeah.
I grew up in Skukune. Yes. We did not even know about them. You know?
Yeah.
But today, almost every village has that, you know. So I think the ANC government performed when it comes to that.
Well, you'll go to roads, but while still on schools, you know, there's the issue of pit latrines.
Yeah.
That the government for the last 2 years has been having deadlines to eliminate them. As you leave in 2 weeks' time, they'll still be here, Mr. Premier.
Yes, I think we left with how many, if I'm not mistaken, it's about 105.
Okay.
And some of this 105 is a technical figure. You know why? Because you go to a school, build latrines for them, toilets for them.
Yes.
You know, waterborne toilets for them. But because they feel that you did not build enough toilets, they refuse to abolish pit toilets and say, no, we'll still retain the pit toilets.
Okay.
But until such time that we believe we've got enough number of toilets, you know. But if you could go through the minutes of Executive Council.
Yes.
And hear the way in which we lambasted public works. I think it's about 3 or 4 months ago when we were discussing this issue. Because we were saying that by now we should have, according to me, when I leave, I finish my term. I thought I would finish my term without even one school.
What is public works excuse when you lambast them? What do they say is the problem?
Officials, Ngamulesh. Officials. You know, working with people is not like when you deal with mathematical problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, there's an equation there.
Yes. You see, in mathematics, when the variables are not, when they tell you that this variable is this variable, it will not change. It will be like that. When they say an angle between a tangent and a chord is equal to the angle at the alternate segment, it will not change. It's mathematics, it will be like that. But in social studies, it's a different thing because you are dealing with thinking beings, you know. And you must, sometimes you stick and what?
I'll let you say that.
But I concede that we should have eliminated them by now.
Okay. Because sometimes people accuse, especially on your head as a politician, politicians of whether there are issues of capacity, but sometimes they say in certain contracts, people try to cook them in a way that it comes back to them. So when it's they're not able to cook them in a way that it benefits them, the project stall. Is that something you've observed, perhaps?
Remember, before I went to LIMDEF, I was an official. Also,
yeah, okay. You know,
I became a director, chief director, HOD for economic development. Then from there, I went to LIMDEF. So I've seen those things.
Okay.
You know, it's not, to me, it's not theory. Hence, I'm saying dealing with thinking beings is a problem.
Yeah.
Perhaps that is why we were even, it was even possible for us to deal with the finances of the province.
Yeah.
Why? Because we knew some of those tactics that we were talking about.
Okay.
And we went straight into the causes of those problems and dealt with people at that level.
So we're still banking the issue of infrastructure. We'll come back to it. Because what you're saying links to an area you spoke about a lot in your State of the Province address is corruption.
Yeah.
It was an area you were intent to deal with. But as you leave, you would be aware that some have accused you of being lenient to some comrades, as far as that is concerned. How have you dealt with corruption? And what were the hindrances, if there were there?
But you remember, if you remember, Ngamul,
yeah.
At some stage when he interviewed me, I said, if indeed I was lenient to some comrades on corruption, where is the evidence? Can anybody say, Matabata, here you should have done 1, 2, 3 and you did not do that simply because it is so and so. I think even other structures attempted to say that, and I went to them. Some of them I'm saving in their executives. And then I said in that meeting, give me evidence if you think I'm lenient.
Yes.
But if you think I am going to make noise to be true, no, I'm not going to do so.
Okay.
You can still be true without making noise.
No, I hear you. Of course, at home, if you want to comment or speak to the Premier, give us a call. 087-288-9697. That's our studio line. 079-899-6226. That's for WhatsApp. Rhodes, Mr. Premier, I was attending a funeral 2 weeks ago, and one of the members of the national executive, no, he's deputy minister, so he's not a member of the deputy minister, was saying, when I was driving very well until I got to this piece of road, then the road has potholes everywhere, but we are working on it and so on. And the MEC was there, also spoke and spoke about how it's a constant issue that people raise everywhere, but the idea is you must keep going to address. At the last time, Ral was saying there's a backlog at the current allocation of budget that may take us over 100 years in terms of tarring our roads. You can verify it with that. So what is the problem there?
No, 100 years, I think, is over-exaggerating it.
There
is a huge backlog. Remember, Ngamul, when we took over in 1994,
yes,
we took over a province that you cannot compare to provinces such as Western Cape. You know? We were a highly rural province, a province that was used as a buffer zone because of its strategic location politically, you know, with countries which were not our friends. We were not friends of the then apartheid regime, enemy countries. So they did not want to create another Soweto or another in SHL.
Mm.
You know why? Because it was going to be very difficult for them in terms of security.
Okay.
So that's why even resources were not, very little resources were spent here.
Mm.
Hence, you travel the whole of Skukune. I will always make example of Skukune because I'm from there.
Yeah.
The whole of Skukune had only one tar road when we took over.
Yes.
One tar road.
Mm.
So today, almost every village in Skukune have got tarred access road or paved access road.
Mm.
Almost every mshate has got a tarred road that goes to Mshate or paved road that goes to Mshate. You know, that's how much we have delivered in terms of roads. But because of this backlog that we are talking about, it has been very, very difficult to reach certain areas.
Yeah.
You know? Again, the second impediment has been the lack of rail network, and we came with an aggressive program of opening up the economic resources such as your mines, such as mines. Remember, prior to 1994, Dilokong had less than 15 mines. In fact, 6, not 15, if I'm not mistaken. I'm talking under correction. But today we've got about 45 mines in Diluko.
Okay.
And we've got these big trucks.
Yeah.
You built a road, but those big trucks are moving day and night. If you travel our roads today, Skukune and everywhere else, you know. Yeah, because these mines are everywhere. You've got Venetia, you've got everything today, you know. If you travel our route, you will meet these trucks everywhere. Yeah.
Okay.
Hence the potholes.
Hence the. All right. Okay. Let's hear from Shoti, Mr. Premier. Shoti, you want to talk about the road in Mafefe. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Ngamola, and good evening to Masajia Sabiro.
Gaoreta Shoti. And that will be very strategic. That road, if that road can be developed, it will be very strategic, because you know, it vias the area to Akhoshiskoro,
okay,
through Lekhalamets. Lekhalamets is one tourism icon.
Yeah,
when you are at the top of Lekhalamets,
yes,
yeah, there is no snake there. There is no insects. There is no mosquito. The water is very, very, very clean.
Oh, okay.
Yes, from the streams.
You say if it can be developed, it can be very, very well.
Yes.
Why has it not been developed?
Those are some of the things. You know, resources, Ngamula, are finite.
Yes.
Those are some of the areas that I feel that we could have reached, but we could not reach because of the finiteness of the resources that we're using.
Are there those that squandered some resources, you imagine?
Within these 10 years, it was very, very, if any, because you can't close the whole tap.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, even in the best democracies in the world, you know, you still get this kind. You know, when I was still young, studying Marxism, I was told that one of the characteristics of capitalism is corruption.
Okay.
You know, where you've got corruption, you are definitely going to have capitalism. That is why people are facing firing squads in places such as China, Russia, and everywhere.
Yeah.
In very developed economies, in the United States, it's worse.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Shoti, so the Premier actually responded to the question, was saying that road, but you wanted to add something about the road?
Yes, man, because, so, you know, the tourist is disabled, like that lady, I got a halamezi.
Yeah.
Then now, because of Zilela Yaloga, hey. Inagari 4x4 road, and then there are tourists, it's like a little bit in Yami, Basumisha, the GPS, and then Rabahumisha, because Zilela is not accessible.
Okay.
So Rana, it is a loga, it's on prova, economy, I'm a surfer, Ligonomy, I score Ramon, as far as I am a surfer, Lily score Lohalami, because my first area is oriented tourism area. So Rana, or if you let the Ega Loga, because very nice to see how approve previous years, but I don't know why each and every financial year I was finally part of the day on
that. Okay.
Or would you like to go on a premier?
Yeah.
Or in Gile, I approve you. I get say, you got on a link to Amguto because I know we discussed it in the executive council. That is why I get say, the dynamics. And I know that it is going to be developed soon. But Kechaba would have the commitment for the 7th administration. Nag shalej kima judge.
All right, thank you, Shoti. Yeah, well, look, you could give free things as you leave. The ones that come will sort it out. You could say free education. And the ones who come will sort out free education. Ambrose, hi, good evening.
Good evening, Domala. How are you? And good evening to the Premier.
Good evening, my brother.
Yes, Domala, mine to the Premier. As he bids us farewell in the next 2 weeks or so, is the issue regarding Mama Hule settlement. Where we have been there for 15 years without services, but I want to acknowledge that we have submitted a letter to the Premier's office, and we just got a letter responding today, where the Premier instructed the mayor of Polokwane to deal with the issue.
Okay.
So our wish maybe, or we just wanted to check with the Premier to say, before he leaves, will he summon all these departments that are responsible for Mama Hule before he leaves? We are asking them.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ambrose. Just a second, Mr. Premier. Let me take Donald as well. So Mama Hule will note that. Donald, good evening.
Hi, how are you, Ngamla?
Very well, how are you, man?
I am good.
Go on.
Yes, I would like to ask the Premier about the issue of Ephraim Mogale. We thought that when he took over, he was going to fast track things, you know, in our province, as he promised. But now, we have this that has been going for 12 years. For 12 years, these people have been digging the pipeline. As we speak today, they are still digging. We don't have water. You can't see the progress. You don't know as to what's actually happening here, what's going on.
Okay. Ephraim Mogale, ne?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Donald.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. And as the Mr. Premier, the one of Mama Ule, so I'm told you have given an instruction.
No, it can't be an instruction.
Yeah.
Because remember how government operates in South Africa. Local government is a sphere of government on its own. You know? The Premier cannot instruct a mayor.
Okay. Yeah.
So because a mayor has got his own independent domain or dominion. So what we do, because we are doing oversight over municipalities, though we are not supervising them, we are doing oversight over municipalities. What we do is to write, or should I say, issue a directive,
which
is not necessarily an instruction, a directive to a mayor and say, Mayor, please look into 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And then the mayor will then look into his programs also. And if he comes back and say, Premier, sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't use a stick or whatever.
Yes.
To make him do anything that his council, because he's not reporting to you, he's reporting to council, remember.
Yes.
He's
okay.
Accountable to council.
To the council.
Yeah.
The water, Ephraim Mogale?
The Ephraim Mogale issue of water again, man. Remember, provinces are not water authorities.
Mm.
We don't have competence in water.
Okay.
We don't even get a cent for water as provinces. Water competency resides with national government,
mm-hmm.
Department of Water and Sanitation,
mm-hmm.
and the local government.
Okay.
In Ephraim Mogale, it's Kukune. It's Kukune District.
Kukune District. Okay.
Yeah, that deals with that issue.
Mm.
And I'm not sure about the pipes that he's talking about, but what I know is that in those two municipalities, Ephraim Mogale and Elias Mutsoaledi, water is a problem. Remember, that's my hometown.
That is. Mm. Okay, let me take this call from Pitsi and I'll read some WhatsApp texts as well, and we'll continue the conversation. Pitsi, you want to talk about two issues, IDP and GBV? Please go on.
Firstly, good evening to the Honorable outgoing Premier and UTC and the nation at large. Premier, I have three questions to ask.
Mm.
You made mention of the fact that during your administration you had a firm grip on dealing with corruption within institutions of the state. My question to you is one. During the COVID-19 period, where you found that a store manager of a particular retail store or a store was not complying with COVID-19 regulations, you did not hesitate in arresting the branch manager of that store. But when it came to municipalities that invested money in VBS in violation of the Municipal Finance Management Act, you jumped the head of the institution and dealt with his juniors below. That's the first contradiction I need you to clarify. Why? Mm. Because in one area you dealt with the head of the institution, in another institution you jumped to the mayor and dealt with the other ones below. That's the first question. Two, we were very much disappointed last year with your office pertaining to the gender-based violence campaign that normally starts on the 1st of December.
Mm.
We made presentation to the minister in Pretoria, and they referred us to your office in Bulawayo.
Mm.
The people that were with you in your office, they were lying to us every day until we did not even receive funding for a particular structure in Marulian called Marulian GBV organization that I was tasked with finding funds to assist them with the launch of the campaign. Your director general in your office of the premier was just lying to us every day. I can even give you his name if you want it. With his assistant.
Okay, let's go to the question.
Your office there disappointed us a lot.
Okay.
That I lost confidence in it.
Okay. So that's your comment
on
it.
Lastly, do you have, as you were speaking earlier, do you have a monitoring system whereby projects that are in the IDP of municipalities are implemented, because it finally falls back to the provincial government? For example, we had an IDP submission of 2021 Yamopani, whereby 350 million was allocated for the construction of the dam along the gorge of the Drakensberg Mountain next to Strait of Canada. Even today, that IDP project of the dam is still in heaven, it's not implemented.
All right, let's take until there, Pitsi. Let's give the Premier an opportunity to respond. So as soon as he responds, we'll go to others. Mr. Premier?
Pitsi must understand how government operates.
Mm.
The Premier is not responsible for municipalities. That's not my terrain. That's not my dominion.
Okay.
I'm just overseeing municipalities.
Mm.
I think our people must understand that and internalize it.
Mm.
VBS did not happen at provincial level. It happened in municipalities.
Mm.
So before you could act there, you must go through the council.
Mm.
You know? Because that municipality, the mayor, the MM there is not reporting to the provincial government.
Mm.
It's not reporting to the president. It's not reporting to the premier. It's reporting to council.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And if anyone can say we did not do enough on VBS, I think that person will be lying.
Mm.
Let me tell you what happened. When immediately, I must accept, because it was happening at the local government level, it caught us flat-footed.
Yeah.
But immediately we heard about that, we acted.
Okay.
We appointed a company, an independent company, you know, from outside, private company, to come and do forensic investigation.
Yes.
Forensic audit and investigation. Mm. And they gave us a report. Within 6 months, they gave us a report, a voluminous report.
Yes.
And I can assure you, Ngamula, I read that report sentence by sentence, word for word, and I understood it.
Yes.
And after we received that report, studying it, we then started acting.
Yeah. Okay.
I was also the chairperson of the organization, the African National Congress.
Mm.
Those municipalities, or in fact, all of them, were led by deployees of the ANC. And then we then immediately, before we could do any other thing, we said, all these municipalities that lost money to VBS, we must start at the head.
Mm.
We recalled the mayors.
The mayors.
We recalled 7 mayors at a go, immediately thereafter. From there, we then said, that is the ANC.
Yes.
Yes. We had powers because those are our deployees. We then said, what are the recommendations within this report?
Mm.
And we implemented every single recommendation within that report.
Yes.
That is why you're seeing people going through cases now. People, and it's not junior people. It's not true that junior, it's only junior people who are going through this. You would have municipal managers, you would have mayors being recalled and being charged. Some mayors are now going through court action, litigation processes, you know. And we reached a stage where we said, we have done everything that a provincial government and a local government and national government can do. What is left for us is for the law enforcement
authorities.
Authorities. We left everything and we gave them information. We went to the Hawks, SIU, everybody. We gave them information and said, here is the report, the forensic audit report. Here are the recommendations. Act. And that's not our space.
Okay.
I can't be said to be lenient on anyone there.
On anyone
there. Yeah, because that is not my space.
All right.
Where it was my space, I acted.
Okay. The GPV matter?
I don't know. I don't know about that, you know. He says the director general lied. I don't know what did the director general say to them, and what was the whole issue on the GBV all about. Okay. But I know that there are MECs that I appointed who are actually dealing specifically with this issue of GBV. Because in the province, you'll agree with me that we've got serious problem with GBV.
So there are obviously a number of comments that will be sent, and some will read so that the communications team will take note of them. We won't be able to fit everything within this hour. So we'll play some of them, we'll read some of them, and the team will take some of them and follow up with that as well. It's been a challenging 10 years, you would say, politically. What has been the challenges for you?
11 years,
yes. Okay. Yes.
a number of things.
Yeah.
Both on the political side and the administrative side.
Yeah.
And the administration is actually what I said to you.
Yeah.
Where you would find that there is no qualified personnel. You know, in various sectors. At Public Works, at some stage, we had teachers occupying posts of engineers. In some instances, you'd get a nurse occupying a post of an engineer. Those were the kind of the challenges that we faced.
Yes.
But we took a decision there and there that we are going to deal with that problem, and we dealt with that problem. It's no longer existing in this province.
Okay. Yeah.
And then secondly, was the issue of attraction of skill and retention of skill. Because we are a rural province, Dominic, it becomes very easy to become a fishing ponds for urbanized and other provinces. So provinces such as Gauteng, Western Cape, Durban, and whatever KZN. You know, people would rather prefer to go and work there rather than being sent to Efetahomu or Malamlele or wherever. You know. So when we discovered that we are encountering that problem, and more especially in finances, we then said, what do we do as executive council? Said, let's create a professional hub within the Department of Treasury. You know? We create a professional hub because people will at least be able to attract those people to Polokwane. They are stationed here in the Department of Treasury in Polokwane. And then this professional hub is used as an agency type of is it 10111?
Okay, know? Okay.
They go to municipalities, they bring officials from municipalities to Polokwane, assist them and train them. We train our own people, you know, in finances and all this good. Hence, we're able to improve the finances of our municipalities like we did. Despite the fact that we're unable to get the chartered accountants in municipalities.
Okay.
But this professional hub was assisting us to do so.
I read somewhere that you said you have been attending ANC conferences. Did you say for 30 years or so?
Since 1991. I've never missed even a single ANC conference. And Ngamule, had I not been arrested in 1984, I could also have
gone to
the Kabye conference in 1985.
Oh, but you say the last one was the most difficult you've had.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Extremely difficult.
Why is that? What happened?
You know, it's good that we're talking about this.
Yeah.
You know, I was approached by comrades that, please, we are going to nominate you for chairperson, national chairperson. I wanted to refuse. In fact, I initially was not interested in it. I said, no. I'll not do that. Remember, I knew that one of my best friend and comrade, you know, is Guatemantash, because I worked with Guatemantash in the underground. When I was stationed in the east.
Oh, so you buddy, your best friend.
Very, very close.
He doesn't say.
Even. so now, Nono is my one of the comrades that I can say I trust the most. Because I worked with him. So I thought, now I'm going to contest in this position, because I knew that he's still going to run for another time. Yes. But when I realized that this thing is gaining a lot of
momentum.
I realized that when branches of the African National Congress demands that you must stand for a particular position, you can't say no. If you are brought up with ethos and principles of the African National Congress.
Yes.
Because you know that contesting each other in the ANC, you know, should not create enmity. You know? Because we are contesting each other within a spectrum of friendship, of comradeship.
Of comradeship.
You don't have an enemy at a conference of the ANC. You only have comrades.
Okay.
That is why we've got this maxim that says, at a conference of the African National Congress, if you are a delegate, you must be willing to persuade others and be persuaded.
Yeah.
And also be willing to be persuaded in that conference. Because it's a conference of comrades. There are no enemies. You can't say somebody sold out in a conference of
that. That's interesting, because isn't it what some people are saying about you, that you betrayed them or the position of the province of that conference?
I'm coming to that.
Okay.
I'm coming to that. Now, when nominations were closed,
yeah,
I had about 1,400 branches.
Okay.
And Comrade Goethe had about 800 branches that time. You know. So that in itself says you've got a lot of comrades nationally now, not only in from the province, who want you to become their chairperson.
Okay.
And then you go to conf, and now, on the other side, I had a lobby group that I belong to. You know, when you go to conferences, you've got lobby groups.
Yes.
I had a lobby group that I belong to.
Yeah.
And that lobby group is the same lobby group where Guatemantash belonged to.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And we're trying to negotiate then with that lobby group.
Okay.
That they must accept. We're the second biggest province that time in terms of membership. We're trying to negotiate with that lobby group of ours, which had Comrade Cyril Ramaphosa's number one.
Okay.
And that, look, Tina here as a province, we've got Comrade Cyril Ramaphosa's number one.
Yeah.
We've got Paul Mashatile's number two. Stan Matavata as chairperson number three.
Mm.
And then we've got Secretary, I think we've got Ntuli, Ntumiseni Ntuli.
Okay, yes, yes.
We've got this top six. And we're saying to them, because all of us are agreed on Comrade Cyril, why don't you take at least two from our lobby group? More especially, we from the province, from Limpopo.
Okay.
You know, from the branches of Limpopo, we have never had a single person in the top five or top six of the ANC. I mean, the top six of the ANC. It was still top six that
time. At that time, yeah.
And our comrades, it was not me negotiating because I was conflicted.
Yeah.
Our comrades negotiated that at least they must take the chairperson and the deputy chairperson, myself and Comrade Paul, you know.
Yeah.
And the chairperson and deputy president, sorry, you know. At least if they can accommodate two, except Comrade Cyril, because with Comrade Cyril, we agreed.
Okay? Yeah, yes.
Up till the 11th hour, these comrades could not budge. They said, no, we are not going to agree to your view. Limpopo, we have taken a decision. This is our lineup. If you don't want, it's up to you, you know. So when we realize that this is now the last day, we are at conference, we are at NASREC, then comrades who are lobbying for us comes and they tell me, they're reporting to me, they report to me, say, this is the situation. So, but Tina, we feel we must continue with our lineup.
Okay.
I said, now, how? They said, no, perhaps, I then suggested to them, perhaps let's convene an urgent PEC meeting, provincial executive meeting there.
Okay.
We convened that provincial executive committee meeting. I excused myself from the provincial executive, recused myself from the meeting.
Yeah.
And then said to them, comrades, I will go with any decision that you take. Any decision that the leadership, the PEC take, I'll go with it.
Okay.
But unfortunately, for almost, I don't know, for more than 5 hours, they could not agree.
They could, Is that
Now I had to to become an individual, which hardly happens in the ANC.
Okay, yes.
An individual, Stan Matavata, who must now take a decision.
No, no, I hear you. I think we'll at some point we'll have time to reflect. Just because we're running out of time. But just quickly, do you, with benefit of hindsight, do you think you could have done things differently? But, or things could have been handled differently, whether by you or others?
Yes, I think things could have been handled differently by all of us, not only me. Because with me, Ngamula, to be honest with you, it was very difficult.
There was
no way I was going to say, let me compromise all the five people, despite the fact that I was part of the five that was being compromised, and retain only the face of the campaign.
Yeah,
no. So Because I would be saying to those 1,400 branches that.
Okay. No, I hear you.
You know,
We together with you, we lost the first lady, and we all felt the pain.
Yeah.
Just to check on you, as far as that.
Yeah. Well, hey, that was the worst thing that could happen to me in life. You know, I've been through Section 29 solitary confinement. I've been through everything, tortures, and but I've never had a pain such as the one that I had when I lost my wife of 41 years. You know, because the two of us were, you know, were just like one person. So it was very difficult, extremely difficult, extremely difficult. I don't even wish any husband can go through the same pain. Hence, I always tell people when they say, "Now, what are you going to do?" I say, "I don't think I'll ever go into that kind of union again because I wouldn't want to go through this again if it happens."
Yeah.
No, yeah. It was the most difficult period that I had in my life.
What's next for you? You are leaving the premiership, but you still remain chairperson for 2 more years or so?
Yes, for 2 years.
Yeah. So what happens after? What's
I'm leading the provincial delegation to the national parliament. I am number one on the province to national list.
Okay.
I'll be in Cape Town, and the African National Congress will then decide what they do with me. I'll take anything that the ANC says I must take.
All right. Mr. Premier, it has been a great honor and a great pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chingamula.
To engage you throughout the 10 years, 11.
11.
Throughout 11 years. And we appreciate the sacrifices, the efforts that you have made to be able to lead the province. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. Good evening. And thank you to the people of Limpopo.
Thank you. Good evening.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.